Good morning. How's everybody feeling? Come on, come on. I need to feel some energy. Good morning. God is good. All the time. God is good. Amen. I'm excited to be here this morning. I think I probably should check the weather. I got sandals on. I didn't know it was going to rain today. So my toes are going to get an extra washing this morning. Amen. I'm not mad at it. I want to share with you a few things this morning. Did you guys enjoy last night's service? Yeah. All right, praise God. Now, there's something that takes place in the morning and the evening. I'm not sure if you all are familiar with it, but it is called a prayer. Huh? United prayer. Oh, it was so amazing last night. So let me share with you a conviction, right? Because I'll just be honest with you. When they told me about the United Prayer last night, I was like, oh, man, that's amazing. That's awesome. Good stuff. I'll have to catch it sometime. And God said, no, you're going to catch it tonight. And so I was like, no, I'm tired. And it's like a half an hour that I get to my hotel. He said, no, you're going to catch it tonight. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to catch it tonight. Because let me tell you something. When God speaks to me, I got to be obedient. And so I experienced something so amazing last night. I was in this room with about 8 other young people. And we were just praying, and we were singing and reading. It was amazing. And so, listen, I'm going to challenge you all to get up in the mornings, meet us at 6 or 6:30, and then in the evenings from 9 to 9:30. We may even start, like, right after the session tonight ends to kind of just get a good roll while people are still here. But it was pretty awesome. And I hadn't experienced something like that so intimate with a group of young people ever on that level right there. So I do want to definitely ask that you all come. You've got specific prayer requests. You've got friends back home. You've got things you're dealing with. And this United Prayer, it's some amazing things happening there. So I do want to mention that. Another thing I want to share with you before we get started is I have an app. It's called Jeremy Daily. It's a free app. You can download it. It's free. Jesus paid it all, amen. I'm not trying to make any money off of you, but I've got sermons, I've got messages, I've got devotionals, I've got all sorts of resources on my app. And so if you have a smartphone or a tablet, you can download it. It's called Jeremy Daily, my name, and then daily, like for daily devotionals, and it's free. So I did want to share that with you all. And with that being said, let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, God, Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the refreshing rain. We thank you for this beautiful campground, God. We thank you, Lord, for your young people, for the leadership here, God, for the parents that are just so passionate, Lord. We just thank you for everything, God. And at this time, I recognize my inadequacy. I recognize my shortcomings, God. I recognize how frail I can be, Lord, without you. And so I ask first in the midst of my friends, Lord, that you will forgive me of my sins, God. Hear this prayer, my Father and my King, and just empower me right now, Lord, to help your young people recognize their value and their worth in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we know what the theme is. Whatever you do for the least of these, you also do for me, like service. And so before we get really, really deep into service, because we have all week long, I want to make sure that we've really set this thing up so that we're all on the same page, right? So yesterday I gave you my testimony, so you know where I came from, you know a bit about my background, so I'm not just some random guy up here giving talks. You know a bit about me. And so today I want you to know a bit about yourself.
Yeah.
You know about me. So today I want you to know a bit more about yourself, why you're here, and your purpose. Because I believe that once you recognize what your purpose is in life, then you will be to the point where you can then fulfill your purpose. But a lot of people don't know what their purpose is. They don't know what their worth is. So they kind of just go through life, just living life however they live it. And so we're going to talk about that today. Something else I'm going to do, and I'm going to ask my friends in the back, can we get some small pieces of paper just to give to everybody? What I want to do, whenever I travel, I always like to do a question and answering period. And since we'll be together in the mornings and the evenings, I would really like to put some time aside in the mornings to answer your questions. Yeah, if we can maybe tear them up and rip them up. So maybe four per page. And so this is what we'll do. And I would normally have my number up on the screen, and you guys would text me your questions, but some of you may not have your phones, and the signal's a little shaky. So I'm going to have pieces of paper passed out to you. Just in your own time of comfort, I want you to write down any questions you have. Now, normally, I would say raise your hand, you know, and then I'll answer your questions. But I found that with today's awesome generation, you guys just aren't as outspoken as far as your personal business. But if you can text me your question in confidence, or if you can write your question down in confidence, I know that that'll be more realistic. And so I don't want to just blah, blah, blah. I want to hear from you. What are your concerns? What are your challenges? What are your struggles? You've got questions about the Bible. You've got questions about our faith. Whatever it is, do not let the enemy keep you silent. Voice it, because we're here to grow and learn together. Amen. All right. Amen. All right, let's go. So, and I'll tell you, I need to fill up y'all's energy, because I normally wake up when I'm home around 3 or 4 a.m. just seeking God, and I was up late last night, like 12 o'clock, watching TV. I was watching TBN, but they had some awesome stuff, like, and I only watch it, so please don't think I just only watch TBN. But something just said, turn the TBN. I turned the TBN, and they had this awesome program just on the brain and your diet and how your diet affects your brain and your mind and your connection with God. It was amazing. And I know people who were dealing with issues, so I called TBN, right? So I called, it was like 11:30. They were like, thank you for calling TBN. Are you calling for a donation, to make a donation, or calling for prayer? I was like, neither one. I need to know, how can I get this DVD of what I just saw, you know? And it was amazing. But I did not get the adequate rest, but God is amazing. So let's get right to it. I didn't tell you all of my story yesterday. How can I say it? All right, so you know my father is a pastor, and grandfather and great-grandfather were all pastors. And how do I say this? Just to really, really, just be real. Okay, so my mom had me. I was birthed when I was, because I know what one of the biggest, I know what the biggest deception that the enemy uses, especially when it comes to our powerful young people. He wants to let you know, he wants to try to tell you or have you believe that you're not worth much, you don't have much value. That's a lie. So we're going to expose the enemy and exalt Jesus today. Amen. My mother had me when she was a senior in high school, getting ready to go to college. And I don't know my biological father. So when my mom and my dad married, I was about 8 years old. And you know what I asked him after the wedding? I was like, are you going to be my daddy? He was like, yeah. And ever since then, I mean, we've been like super close. And so nowadays when people see that or they hear me speak and they're like, that's not your father? For years I've been saying you look just like your dad. I'm like, I know, I don't. There's no need to like go into that whole thing. But he never once treated me like a stepson. I never once looked at him like a stepfather. I don't even know who my biological dad is today. But I know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And so I'm just crazy enough to believe that if God wanted my biological father in my life, then he would have put him in my life. Maybe 10 years from now, I forgive him. I'm not worried about it. Maybe there was a part of him that he didn't want me to see. And so he said, I'm going to make you a new dad. God's so amazing. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. And as far as the earth is from the heaven, that's how much differently God thinks. So I know, young people, you question why your parents say what they say, or why does our doctrine have this, or why does the church say this, or why does God do that? He's God, and we just have to trust him. And so I share this with you because for years, since I did not know my biological dad, it had an effect on me. Like, I'm seeing all my best friends, and they're seeing their dads, and they look alike, and they got similar stature. Like, for years, middle school, high school, I'm seeing my friends, and I can see the comparison. I can see why he walks the way he walks, why he says. And I didn't have anything to look at. I'm going to be honest with you. My self-esteem was pretty low. I was just like, you know, what's my worth? What's my value? He didn't want me. I figured, like, I just wasn't worth anything. And God said, son, that's not true. I had a teacher when I was in the eighth grade actually tell me that I wasn't high school material. How do you tell an eighth grader that you're not high school material? I'm like, dude, come on. Like, I heard college material. I heard go to a tech school because you're not the college type. But to tell someone you're not going to make it in high school? So the first 2 years of my high school, it was actually really rough for me. I only shared a part of my story for the sake of time yesterday. But I was really trying to figure out, what's my worth? What's my value? Then, you know, I went from school to school, was getting kicked out. I really had a rough time the first few years of high school. And then eventually I got my act together, and I had a great, awesome father, but I just felt like there was something missing in my life. So I got to a point where I just said, you know, I have to move on. I can't harbor on it. I can't think about it. I can't, woe is me. I have to just move on with life. And so I eventually grew up and I went on from there. But then I began to study where we come from. Because I'm going to be honest with you, one of the biggest lies, and okay, real quick. So you've got your paper. Just hold on to it for a minute. After the service or after this afternoon or whenever you have a question, don't be silent. Write your question down, fold it up, and maybe we'll delegate somebody and we'll give it to somebody, and then they'll collect them, and then I'll address your questions later, okay? So I'm at a point in my life where I just feel like I didn't have much worth. I didn't have much value. And since I feel like I didn't have much worth and much value, I just lived life for myself. I didn't recognize what my purpose was. I just did my thing as long as I was cool, as long as I had cool clothes, as long as I was a class clown and people accepted me. I was really dealing with some serious identity issues. And then I recognized that not only God had a plan for me, but I was actually beautifully and wonderfully made. If you heard this, you've heard it all your life. People have always talked about, you know, how you've been created, but I want you to kind of really, 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 really get a good understanding. I want to read something to you here just so that you have a clear view of God's plan for your life. So you know what the Bible says, you know, I know the plans I have for you, and, you know, you've heard all of that, but I want to read something else here. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Follow me. This is so deep. You got to believe this stuff, y'all. This is so deep. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as prophets to the nations. So Jeremiah 1:5, he's saying, like, before you were even born, I knew you. Before your parents got together, I knew you, and I set you apart. When I read that, and I know you're like, yeah, you've heard it before, but when I read that, it really blows my mind. And so I challenged God. I'm gonna be honest with you. I said, God, did you really choose me? Like, or was I just random? You know, because I felt like, hey, I wasn't planned. Like a lot of times, if your parents didn't plan to have you, some of you are here, you may know your mom, know your dad, maybe you're adopted, maybe you got both parents in the home, that's awesome. Like, or maybe you have both parents, but you were an accident. You were like a honeymoon baby. Like, who knows, right? Or maybe you were like planning, and they calculated it, and they said, we'll be married for 3 years, and then on January 1, we'll get started, and then September, she'll be here. Like, who knows, right? But the reality is, you may not have chose life, but life chose you. God is the creator of life. So I'm hearing all of this stuff, but I'm still like, it's just hard for me. I'm just like, God, you didn't choose me. I was an accident. My mom was like 17, 18 years old. You know, she made a mistake. This guy and his family just ran off. They didn't want me. I was a mistake. There's no value in my life. I've even got teachers, Christian teachers. I was at an Adventist school when he said this to me. Isn't that crazy? He said, you're not, and he tried to actually stop me from, I wasn't even able to graduate in March with my class. All my friends even thought I failed the eighth grade. When I showed up the ninth grade freshman year at the academy, they were like, oh, so you did pass. It was just weird. And so I just had low self-esteem at the time. But then I began to study what happens when a man and a woman get together. And so the reason why I say the creator of life chose you and that you didn't choose life, it's because when you were swimming through your mother's fallopian tube, you had no idea you were there. Do you even know? Can we talk about some science real quick? This is so amazing how God made our bodies, right? Okay, so a male, you know, when he's with a woman, he has like hundreds of millions, like some scientists say 200 million, some will say 500 million. Look, the point is hundreds of millions of sperms are distributed at one time. That's a lot of like you and me. So I made it out of hundreds of millions of sperms, and they were all racing through my mom's, this is like my sperm thing, right? They were all racing through my mom's fallopian tube to attach to one egg. So the reason why I tell people that you didn't choose life and that life, God is the center of life, he chose you, is because you didn't know you were swimming. So you've got millions and millions of sperms swimming through my mother's fallopian tube, and God said, I'm going to choose this one right here. And he chose that specific one. That's why That's why he said, I knew you before you were born. When you were in your mother's womb, I knew everything about you. The Bible even says that the hairs on our heads are numbered. So when you comb your hair, or guys, when we get haircuts and we get trimmed, it's numbered. So that doesn't mean that God says, I can count how many hairs on your head. He says, no, when you got a haircut, that was 4,556 hair that just got cut off. And I'm got 35,000 more growing at the very same time. Like, that's how amazing God is. And so he chose that one sperm, and he attached it to my mom's one egg. Now I've got DNA from my mom, and I've got DNA from my dad. 23 chromosomes from my mom, 23 chromosomes from my dad. They all came together and made one single cell. One single cell. And now my body is made up of trillions and trillions and trillions of cells. And every blue moon, every couple of hours, we lose and die ourselves by the thousands. That's why it's so amazing. It's like even God made us to die daily. It's so awesome how God, he's like, in your very fabric, I'm going to even create you so that you don't even know it, but you're automatically dying daily, but you're automatically also getting life through me. That's how amazing God is. And so I share this with you because I need each and every one of you here to know that you have value, you have purpose, God loves you, he has a plan for you, he created you for such a time as this. God does not make any mistakes. I mean, I'm looking at my life, and please, I am not trying to toot my horn at all. Everything I've done, when I go places, people want bios, and I'm real itchy about bios, because then they think I'm all smart, because I got degrees and written books. I'm like, it's not about that, I'm a servant to God. Like, I ain't rich. I could be with some corporate Fortune 500 company out here making some really good money, but that's not my purpose in life. God chose me and made me for a specific reason. So my mom, Tawana Lynn Anderson, who had me when she was 18 years old, and the church turned their back on her and the family, and she had a hard time, and she was this close to flushing me down the toilet, but she held on to me. God said, no, I've ordained this one right here. He is my chosen generation here, a chosen people. He is my son. I'm going to work miracles through his life. He's going to have a point in his life where he's going to be a knucklehead, but I'm going to restore him, and his mess will end up being a message one day. And he is going to travel the globe, and he's going to minister to thousands and thousands, and I believe millions of people. I got 6,000 downloads on my app. I don't know how people find my app. They email me, text me, tweet me, find me on Facebook. They're like, man, I found your app. I've been reading your app. It's so amazing, such a blessing. I'm like, how'd you find it? I don't know. I was just searching Android for devotional apps. My app just be popping up. I was so naive in my mind because for whatever reasons, I put limitations on God. And so I figured that when the app came out, I would be able to tell like friends and family and you guys when I travel. God says, son, I'm going to have people all over the globe randomly downloading your app, watching your sermons, watching your series, reading your devotionals. I was like, wow. God said, son, that's why I made you. So in the next few days, we're going to talk about service and all of this, but I need you all to know that God has a plan for you, and you're here for such a time as this. He gave you your personality. He gave you your character. He gave you the charisma you have. The way you think, the way you process things, the way you communicate, he gave you that. There are certain people that you can reach that I can't reach. In a household of 2-3 brothers and sisters, there are certain people that those siblings can reach that the other ones can't reach. God has a plan for each and every one of us, but we have to get to a point where we recognize the plan that God has, and we say, God, not my will, but your will be done. You made me. You created me, you molded me for a specific reason, for a specific purpose, and I want to live out my life in service to you. One of the number one questions that I get when I travel and I do youth ministries is they say, you know, well, what's my purpose in life? Because I guess people just, for some weird reason, they just think they got to, like, have a church or have, like, you know, preach sermons to, like, have a ministry. No. God wants to use you right there where you are. Whether it's at your job at Taco Bell, or I hope you're not eating that meat, or whether it's at your home, whether it's at school, like wherever you are, God wants to use you right there. And that's how serious this thing is. I'm on a subway, I'm on a train, I'm just places and people are just, They just drawn to me, and we're just talking, and I'm just pouring into them. I'm just fellowshipping with them, and I'm just like, man, this is amazing. I was in Detroit 2 weeks ago, and I was with a friend of mine, and we were in Chipotle, and we were getting, you know, the little burrito bowls, and we were ordering some food, and the Spirit of God, this is so crazy, the Spirit of God fell upon him and told him just like that to buy this lady next to him dinner. And so he said, ma'am, I'm going to pay for her food also, and was talking to the cash register. Well, the lady said, are you sure? He said, yeah. So the woman says, did he just say he'll pay for my food? So she's like, yeah. She's like, oh, that's so nice. But no, thank you, because I've got them two with me. So my friend said, okay, well, I'm paying for all of them. That's what the Lord told me to do. The woman starts crying, and she's like, no one has ever bought me anything before. So I'm sitting here watching this, and he's like, wow. He said, well, you know what? That the Lord told me to do this for you. God bless you. And they said, no, God bless you. And so he said, oh, he already has, which is why I'm able to do this. So now we have a church in Chipotle. So now the lady behind the cash register, she's like, this is so sweet. I mean, she's crying. So one of the chefs was like, man, can I give you a hug? It was so not really weird, but awesome. Like, at the same time, right? Because you got people like, hey, man, come on, bring it in, big guy. I'm just like, oh, that guy hugging me. I'm just like, hey, I'm just here, you know. He bought me a burrito too, praise the Lord. But that's just Christian stuff right there. He was, I mean, out of nowhere. He was just like, boo, okay. I don't know if he saw something on her face. He just said, God told me to buy this for you. And so she's crying. And so then look where her son comes. Was. Her son was maybe 25. Oh, this woman was in her 50s. And to say that no one ever bought her something, my friend said, wow, she must have never came across a Christian. Blows my mind. Just loving people, just living your life in purpose at that very moment, using you where God says to be used. And so my mind was blown. I'm like, wow. So then the son comes to us, and he says, hey, man, I recognize what you all did, and I want you to know something. I'm going to pay it forward. I'm like, wow. Like, we didn't even have to say, hey, dinner's on us, but you bless someone. We didn't have to say it. We just played our position. Right? We were models of Christ. We were living life in purpose. And he said, hey, I'm going to do what they did. Like, that's the best type of sermons. Some of the best sermons are not spoken. They're lived every single day. So when we get to a point where we say, God, it's not about me. It's all about you, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. I'm not worried about how I look, what people think. I'm tired of that. People need love out here. So when I look at this room full of all these young people that's here, that's seeking God, that wants a closer walk, there is power here because the world doesn't receive this. The world doesn't want to see this, but there are people out there dying, and we have no clue because we're busy focused on ourselves. So as we go throughout these next few days and throughout these next few series, I really, really pray that you all really recognize exactly what God is doing in your lives. Every single day there is purpose, there is a plan, and you're not going to always see the plan. So often early on in my ministry, I was trying to rush the process. God says, son, just trust the process. Don't worry about all of this. Don't worry about the finances. You just serve me. Every single day, wake up, acknowledge me as your Lord and Savior, ask for forgiveness of your sins, spend time in my word, pray, fast, seek my face. I will blow your mind. And so this is what we're talking about, living life to the fullest, living life on purpose. People say and talk about doing stuff on purpose all the time. Let's live on purpose. There is purpose for your life. I don't care about your situation. I don't care about your circumstance. We can pray about it, but let me tell you something. You know how they say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger? Some of you all have testimonies in here. I see it in your faces now. You've gone through some rough things. You've dealt with some abuse, some really rough situations. One would say that life maybe dealt you a bad hand, but God is still holding on to your hand. And what will happen is God will take that situation. He will bring healing to you, and then you'll be able to take that situation, and you'll be able to share that with other people. You'll be able to say, hey, look what I went through. I made it over. I survived. I was victorious. God is amazing. He blessed me. He restored me. Like, that's how you get to life at the next level. And so that's what I want to challenge you all with this morning. recognizing there is purpose in your life. I don't care what you can do. I don't care if you feel like, I don't care. I really don't care. The devil, for years, I'm telling you, he told me all sorts of stuff. You'll never be able to do this. You'll never be able to do that. I really struggled with English throughout high school and college. If it wasn't for a few lady friends, I probably wouldn't have passed. They helped me out big time. You know, a lot of studying. I would have to turn papers in early and then ask the teacher, okay, so the paper's due Thursday, today's Tuesday. Can you look at it and tell me if you graded it today, what you would mark up so I can go back and refix it? Like, I struggled there. And when God says, son, I want you to write the first book, I'm like, Lord, I can't write it. He said, you're absolutely correct. I was hurt. I was like, oh, man. He was like, yeah, you can't write it. You're not a good writer, but let me write it, and I will blow your mind. You know what I did? I believed in what the Bible says, that God inhabits the praise of his people. That means he comes within, he dwells within your heart and your mind. And so I just took him in his word. And so before I wrote the first word, I went to my office, and I closed the door. I cut some music on. I began to sing. I began to worship. And I really got loose. I mean, I'm like, I was really having a good time in the Lord. And it's funny because my wife ran, because I'm not really a singer. So when we sing, and she was thinking someone was attacking me, right? And so when she came down the hallway, through the living room, and by the dining room, and then heard me saying, Jesus, Jesus, thank you, she knew that I wasn't being attacked. Her ears were being attacked. And so at that time, she told me the next morning, she said she just backed away and she didn't disturb me. But I had an awesome worship experience, and I was just fellowshipping with God. And then I said, God, you write the book, you be the pen, you speak through me, you empower me. And I sat down and I wrote my first book, From Prodigal to Prodigy, in 1 week. So crazy. I had people calling me, I got writer's block, this and that. I'm like, look, if you're doing God's work, you sit down, you say, God, fill me with your spirit, guide me, direct me, he will blow your mind. I wrote it in 1 week. I sat down and I typed. And Sunday through that Friday, I wrote the whole book. Matter of fact, Wednesday night, I went to prayer meeting, and I figured that was like worship. And so I came home from prayer meeting and figured I could just start writing, and couldn't write a word. 30 minutes, I'm at the computer, I'm just brain fart, whatever you call it. I'm just like stuck, and I'm trying to find a certain scripture. And then God says, son, what makes today any different from any other day? I made you for a reason. I created you with purpose, but you're not going to fulfill your purpose without me. And so I said, okay. So I sat down, I cut the computer off, I prayed, I worshiped, I sang, and before I could get done praying, that scripture came to my head, and I was right back in the zone, and I wrote that first book in 1 week. We're talking about the power of God, living life in purpose, living life on purpose, saying, God, use me. And that's the hard part. I'm going to share a very, very personal testimony tomorrow when we all meet as a whole to show you all, to let you all know who your number one villain is in your life. And it's not who you think it is. It's not the devil. And I had to get to a point where I had to move past myself and say, God, it's not what I want. It's what you want. Lead me, guide me, direct me. You made me for a specific person. You designed me just like this. Out of hundreds of millions of sperms, you chose me. You connected me with my mom's one egg. 23 chromosomes from mom. Once again, y'all, 23 chromosomes from my dad came together to make one single cell. And now you and I were trillions and trillions of cells. God specifically designed us exactly how he wants us to be. And there's a blueprint for how we live our lives. And it's in the Bible. The Bible is not a book just full of stories. It's not a book full of a bunch of rules. It's an owner's manual. When you go and buy a brand new car, or you get a used car, they took care of it, there's an owner's manual in there. That owner's manual is not to restrict you from having fun with your car. That owner's manual is there so that you know exactly how to get the most out of your vehicle. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. It is here to equip you, to encourage you, to get you focused so that you can get the best out of life. And so we're going to be talking about service throughout the rest of this week. But I wanted to start today, this morning, off with helping you recognize your purpose in life. God chose you for a specific reason. No one on planet Earth can do exactly what you do. Do you know that your DNA has millions and millions of different characters? The characters are like those little things. You've seen that DNA chart like in middle school. You've got millions and millions of different characters. Like, there's no one else designed like you. God chose you for a specific reason. And I'm just crazy enough to believe, because I've experienced it, that when we get to a point where we say, God, you made me, you designed me, now use me. When we can not only sing, I give myself away, but when we can really, truly mean it, that's how we'll get to that next level with God. And then we can live a life of service. Father in heaven, God, I pray that you will continue to silence the enemy, Lord. I can see it on some of your children's faces, Lord. They hear it. It's a little exciting, Lord, but they're still nervous. They're still not sure. They still feel like they're not quite where they need to be, God. But I just thank you, God, that you gave us grace to grow. Lord, you didn't go and choose Sadducees or Pharisees, God, when you came to this earth, Lord, to finish this work, God. You went and chose a bunch of thieves, a bunch of gangsters, a bunch of thugs, a bunch of fishermen, Lord, a bunch of grimy tax collectors, and you asked them to follow you, God. And throughout that process, Lord, they got closer to you, and their characters were being perfected every single day with you, Lord. We recognize now, God, that you specialize in working with the underdogs. The ones that at times, Lord, life may count out, Lord, those are the ones that you choose. And I thank you, God, for choosing us. I thank you, God, for choosing us. I'm glad to know that I serve a God that knew us before we were even made or created. Before our parents even thought about us, God, you knew that we would be here today. When I was in my mess in the world, God, you knew that I would be here right now speaking to your children, Lord. Help them, oh God, to recognize their place on earth. Help them, Lord, to recognize their value. Help them, Lord, to recognize and to know and truly believe that you have a plan for them, Lord. That's what your word says, Lord. You don't want to harm us, God. You want to give us a hope in the future. You want to use us, Lord, and you don't just want to use us, God. You want to actually partner with us, God. So show us, Lord, how to move past what we want and to live out our purpose in life according to your will. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for creating us. And we turned our back on you, Lord. Thank you for dying for our sins. Be with us as we go throughout the rest of the day in fun, fellowship, and service. And then get us back here, Lord, this evening so that we can hear another word from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.